College, 635 Commonwealth Avenue on March 25th, which is Wednesday at 6 p.m. So,
thanks so much for joining us here at Spirio today. You are more than welcome to call us during the show, but I mean, the show is almost over, so I guess we'll catch up with you guys next time. You guys could email us in English, Spanish, Portuguese, or even French at spirio@wmbr.org. Again, that's spirio@wmbr.org. And you can catch this and all of our previous shows on the web, on our website, which is web.mit.edu/hemisphere.
Right before we go, I'd like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show don't necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. And as we go, I'm gonna leave with a song. It's called Marcio Faraco, and it's by Ciranda, and it's on the album Acoustic Brazil.
Adios.
Ele vem bater na minha cara. A vida é sempre essa ciranda.
Se a noite me traz uma tristeza, o dia vem cheio de alegria. O que falo agora com certeza, há pouco não sei se eu diria.
Eu quero gritar, ninguém me escuta. Está tudo preso na garganta. Às vezes me cansa tanta luta, e é pra não chorar que a gente canta. A gente canta. A gente canta. A gente canta. Eu vi uma luz no fim do túnel, enchi de esperança o coração.
A luz que lá estava foi chegando, era um trem carregado de ilusão.
Andando só na corda bamba, não temo o futuro da nação.
A gente que sempre dançou samba, enfrenta qualquer divisão.
A gente canta.
movie Music for Human. I'm a Dr. Jalas Sakran, and I welcome you. I have with me tonight Professor Levine, Professor of Jewish Mysticism.
Hello.
Welcome, Professor Jew.
It's great to be here once again.
And we are also joined by Ivan the Mello.
Здравствуйте.
Welcome, Ivan. Ivan, of course, is Russian.
From Siberia.
From Siberia. So, as a Siberian, do you prefer to be referred to as Siberian?
It's a long-standing question of regional versus national ties. I would have to say it is actually Siberia. Siberia has my heart and soul.
So you would rather be referred to as Siberian?
Yes, that's correct.
I think this must all have to do with some sort of history, a historical thing, that even though Siberia and Russia are really very close together, that a person from Siberia would identify themselves as Siberian due to a historical, perhaps, war?
If you remember the war of 1757, the great war between Siberia and Russia, it's a war that weighs down on the psyche of every common Siberian, even up to this day.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Tibetans played the decisive role in the Siberians' loss, isn't that correct?
That's correct. That's why we are in such stark opposition to Tibet and to Dalai Lama in particular.
Well, before we go any further, I would just like to remind our listeners, or inform those of our listeners who are our listeners tonight for the first time and have now welcomed us and become our listeners, that you can also become a speaker in addition to becoming a listener by calling in, and the number is 617-253-8810, and really the show is about the harmonization and not about our dissemination of our really explosive and brilliant ideas across the radio waves. But back to the Siberian viewpoint, it all comes back to memory and history. And how is this history taken down? How is it passed down from the child? It's certainly not known instinctively.
Well, according to the psychodynamic and the Jungian view, the child in his formative years expresses the desires and the Siberian cultural viewpoint, or his sense of Siberianness, if you will, and this is taken down and passed on to further generations by the elders.
So it is by oral transmission. I mean, one wonders, when observing regional conflicts, one wonders whether or not these conflicts have origins that are instinctive, that it is simply in the blood that these two cultures will be fighting.
Current biological research has shown that it is in fact scientifically true. So the blood pervades within it certain cultural knowledge and experiences.
Well, you may all know that I have a very dim view of this thing you all call science, so-called science. My own reading of the mystical tradition has led me to believe that all human memories essentially spring from our soul experience, our soul's experience from before birth, and from they spring from this common harmony of human memory, which is one ball or sphere of memory that unites us all as humans. So I actually don't believe these cultural memories of Siberian-ness or Russian-ness really have any truth to them. They're really just illusions of the material world.
Now, when you are old and wise as I am, you will eventually, I mean, if you are old enough to remember that it was not always so that in Siberia one would speak with any seriousness about one's Siberian-ness. It was, if anything, meant humorously. So, and yet these days, it is not uncommon for one to speak of one's Americanism. And I remember that it was also, you know, this is of course at the very edge of my memory, but I read also a lot about the beginnings in Germany in the Nazi era, that one would speak about one's Germanhood or his Teutonicness. And I wonder if that's not a dangerous sign.
Well, that's right, and I'm a firm believer that we dance with one another on the branches, on a tree of life, which is eternal and immortal.
Lest we forget, sometimes those branches have to be cut off.
The branches must be, because they are tumorous.
Yes. And no. So, Professor Levine, could you elaborate on your mysticism and its relation to the concept of Russianhood and the new emerging cultural springs of Siberianness?
Yes, well, I actually believe that this was a common theme in 19th century Russian literature, this question of belonging to a nation state versus belonging to the wellspring of all humanity. And as a believer in the tree of life, I believe that it's important to climb the trunk of this tree of life and to dance upon it rather than to hang from weak branches and saplings.
And yet this hanging, as you call it, is for a certain type of creature, a way of existence.
The bat.
Or the sloth. Or the koala.
That's right, and it's true for human beings as well, that a certain kind of human being, a demagogue, gains his spiritual sustenance through division of the tree of life, through emphasis of the various branches rather than the common trunk.
But in many ways there are reasons that a tumorous branch should be removed.
So you're referring to spiritual pruning?
Precisely.
Well, I do believe that in our own personal journey, in our spiritual quest for enlightenment, we sometimes have to recognize that parts of our psyche are decayed, and we do have to be willing to prune them off and to remove what's rotten from our own soul.
What are the dangers of not making this removal? Are there any dangers?
Well, the whole situation is very dangerous. When one is meditating and one comes across an area of rottenness in the soul, there can be three different responses that are possible. One, and the worst, is to embrace the decay, to enter the realm of spiritual impurity and evil and become one with it. The second, which is the most common response among human beings, is to repress the decay, to put it to a side and to pretend it doesn't exist. And the third and the most powerful and difficult response is to prune away the rottenness and to heal it. And I believe that the only way to heal it is by experiencing life in all its fullness, to suspend the need for judgment, and to tear down those strange and foolish walls of separation that divide us.
Well, I think this is the difference between the mystical view and the newer, agier scientific view. Let's bring another voice into this with some pleasure. First, we have the highly esteemed and most famously regarded Lester Woods, ordained light minister, who I believe should be joining us.
Yes, good evening.
Welcome, Lester.
Oh, thank you. It's, as always, it's very much a pleasure to be back.
Well, we're certainly warmly welcoming you, and with great happiness we find you here. Let's also bring a voice from outside the studio into the discussion. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to let everything sit, or let everything. Or I was thinking when you were talking before about your subject, I didn't necessarily agree with it, but I think that letting everything echo off of everything is a very good thing. And then things that let everything vibrate and echo off of everything, you know, I think that's all very good. And I think that's really everything echoing and vibrating off of everything is how it is. And, you know, when I first started listening to this radio show, I was not aware of the Lester Woods. I was not aware of the first culmination that was Music for Human Beings, or is the Human for Beings radio show. And, you know, I didn't understand the Arthur fully when I first started delving into the subject that was the MIT radio waves of Music for Human Beings. And I just want to say that I think it's great. I had some email correspondence with the Arthur, and, you know, I shed some of my delusions upon him, some of my delusions in life, some of my dream world space that at the time I wanted him, I expected in the email a civil response to either say, or what is not a civil, that is a terrible word, that is a terribly misunderstood word, which should be cut out of our language. Anyways, I expected a response that was either supposed to be like, you're not making any sense to me. I expected a response of that, or an affirmation of my delusions, or I'm not sure if that's the right word.
You know, Robert, that's a really great point you make, and I think that we have come to this mutual understanding in maybe these 4 years now that we've been on the radio together. And 'tis can be said that the pipe and the lute that charm our ears, well, that they're really no melody to ignore.
Yeah, I think that people, what was it that I was going to say? people like when you let someone go ahead with their delusions and figure themselves out and you go along with it in a certain way, you don't necessarily, not that he perpetuated my delusions, but not that he, because if you were to say that's insane, I would have never even believed him anyways, because that's how people work.
That's exactly how people work. You're right.
Cool. Okay.
Well,
yeah, I just wanted to let everything vibrate off of everything. I don't know if,
you know, I think we're still resonating, actually.
And I think that's a very, very nice expression for the human experience, that we are all vibrating off of one another, and we all would like to, like I like to spread my vibrations out over a wide area, and that's why I'm here in the studio and really enjoying vibrating with you. And also, it's a strange but wonderful feeling to vibrate with someone else and to really enjoy that experience. But also, another thing that I'm not sure if Robert mentioned it, is an internal vibration, vibrating inside yourself. And that I would refer to, I think the more conventional word for this is memory.
Yes, and I like to think of these vibrations along with the image of the tree of life. We're all hanging and swinging from this great tree of life. And as we hang and swing and bounce up and down, we vibrate the tree. And we pass along these vibrations to our fellow members of the human species, so we can all vibrate and bounce and swing together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's sometimes how I feel when I wake up in the morning. And I just have this overwhelming sense of white noise. I don't know how else I would describe it, but everything just feels... it feels harmonized together.
Yeah, that could be from the air conditioner.
You know, that might be it, but...
I woke up different places. There's something when you wake up in the morning. There's a whole adjustment of chemicals with
exactly.
the first few hours of
it's
waking
this
up.
Whole, it's this whole spectrum. It's just this density that you can feel. I
know that Dr. Jala, sometimes when he wakes up, he has to figure out what alley he's in.
Well, you know, alleys look a lot alike. And I sometimes have to spend many hours to reset my meditative self and to remember which universe I am actually walking in.
You know, that's... it could just be a transformation that you... you know, you just have to shift planes and you just have to consider the alternatives.
Yeah, I often find myself in... sort of suspended in a space where I am a great radiant star and surrounded by lesser stars.
Well, it's interesting that we're talking about waking up in the morning and dreams and night walking and night visions, because I actually, in my reading of the mystical tradition, I see that dreams are actually of a kind with memories. And anytime we have a vision in our dream, it's a memory of our pre-birth stage. And I believe this fits with the ancient Greek theory of Plato and Socrates, that all knowledge that we gain as human beings is a result of our regaining and remembering knowledge from our pre-birth existence.
Yeah, it's a direct correlation, I think.
So, Dr. Jollis, you would say that you put yourself on a pedestal?
Well, no,
in
no.
our realm?
No,
well, I mean,
no.
I was just going to say, no, it inadvertently sounded like you said that to me.
No,
I didn't
no,
even
I,
understand anything that other guy just said.
No, no, I certainly was not wishing to impart that I think of myself that way. But But I feel that despite my age and despite the discomforts and that come along with age and the disfiguring ailments as well, that I still feel that somewhere within me there is some source of eternal youth and sort of l'étoile flamboyante, that there's some substance of the heavens there. Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
I was just thinking about, like, you're your own center of attention, and how I didn't really understand what you're talking about getting old, but you're always your own center of attention, so, like, it's always going to be brought back to your center of attention.
Well, I believe one of the lessons of New Age wisdom is that we all have to be our own center of attention.
Well, it's allowing yourself to do that. Like, I meet a lot of people who are in relationships which I would call codependent, where they cannot simply focus on themselves. They cannot permit themselves to do that. And I think that's really hazardous. I think that you cannot be really spiritually healthy unless you permit yourself to know that you are your own spiritual center.
Everything's a collaborative effort, though, I must say, once you find yourself.
Yeah.
Not if you don't need a collaborative effort, though, however.
Well, like,
everybody needs collaborative efforts, because it's not necessary to collaborate for some people. But even delving into your, or that's a silly word, but jumping into your own mind frame, going into your own head, is that is like, and sometimes when you find yourself in your head, you end up collaborating in the earth world.
Yeah, it's like, to me, the analogy would be like, you know, that a long time ago, we had this image that the earth was the center of the universe, and that the sun was orbiting around the earth along with all of the other planets. And it's very difficult to explain their orbits until you realize that perhaps a simpler model is that the sun is in the center and we're all orbiting around the sun. But then many years later, we understand that it's all relative and that we are on the earth, and for many purposes it is permissible to consider the earth as the center.
Yes, I actually believe that the moon is the true center. And it's related to my worship of the moon goddess.
Let me throw the number out once again. It is 617-253-8810. Caller 2, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello, welcome, caller.
Yes, my name is Brandon.
Welcome, Brandon.
I just want to say that sometimes I eat curry and I fall asleep, and then when I wake up the next day, I feel like my heart is on fire.
On fire with some emotion, or do you mean your actual literal heart?
It usually happens when I look at the moon and I feel like hair coming out of my body. I feel like some sort of a werewolf.
And this is a physical sensation or a metaphorical?
Oh, absolutely physical.
Well, I suggest an antacid.
That's what you suggest.
And I suggest you look at ants for a really long time.
Well, and also, if you don't mind turning down your radio or stepping away from it, that would be
I also like to suggest Toucher and Rich, 6:10 WBCN, 6:10 AM. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Well, I think that was intended to be a plug, but I'm not sure. Did anyone understand what he said?
I think the caller had ulterior motives, but I couldn't comprehend them.
Yeah.
I was going to say humble mumbo jumbo, but whatever.
I'm with Robert there.
I don't know. I think the vibrations were just too strong, that there was some sort of unstable equilibrium reached, and I think the caller just decided to step forward or back one too many steps.
Yeah, I like this analogy that maybe there was... when the caller makes a plug, I feel like we are sitting on the top of a lump, and the caller is the lump, and I'm about to roll off.
Yeah, but what's fortunate is that we're all on level ground now. You know, I think we've all come to a safe place.
Yeah, and the beauty of level ground is that, you know, you don't really want to be in equilibrium much of the time. You want that opportunity to change, to grow.
And that's where memory comes along and helps you grow.
It does, because without any context, we have nowhere to go.
Right, and memory connects us to the root of our soul. And I think Robert was talking about this question of collaboration or aloneness. And I believe that our soul has a character, and it's imprinted from time immemorial with this character, which will allow us to either be a social person or a loner, and will determine our style of meditation. And it's only through memory that we can reconnect to this, our soul's roots.
Well, now, when you mention memory, it brings to mind a lot of very interesting questions. Because first of all, we spoke somewhat about this instinctual memory. So this idea about memory before that of things that you have not experienced. And I think we can all agree that there is something to that. Like, in a very mild way, you remember your dreams, but in a very real way, they did not happen to you. Another example, however, is the another very big question in my mind is whether or not memory is like a cathedral, where everything is permanently stored, and it's just very difficult to explain to the priests what you want to see or what file you want to retrieve. Or is memory more like a young boy's bedroom, which is a mess, and every time he reads something, he crumples it up and puts it back so that it's different? You know, it's always changing.
I think it's like a cloud.
More like a cloud.
Yeah, but then I was thinking a cloud sounds like messiness, because it's always reforming into something new.
So, like, in a way, even greater disorder, but in a very predictable way.
Yeah, you can predict things to yourself if you are the type of person that needs to do that.
And I really think I am. I mean, I don't like the idea that my memories are that unreliable.
Well, I would argue that instead of impugning your memories when they change, you should consider the possibility that reality is itself an unstable reflection of our true memories.
So it is in a way that people say that life imitates art, and art imitates life. And
I was going to say that we should disseminate between, I don't even know what disseminate means, but we should separate memory and feeling. But you should combine memory and feeling at the same time.
We could inseminate them.
Let's
actually, is a nice lead-in to my point about sexual frustration and Dr. Freud.
Well, before we really get into that, which sounds like it will take a long time, let's bring another voice in. Caller 3.
Mulibanji.
Welcome. I sense the presence of Mr. Beam himself.
Mr. Beam.
Welcome.
Welcome. How are you doing? Thank you.
Hey, Arthur. He already said it in the same way.
I hear Robert coming down the tubes.
How are you supposed to talk?
Oh, it's good to hear from you, Robert.
Yeah, buddy.
Gosh, yeah, I've been gone for a while. I'm just tending to my garden here.
And how have your how does your garden grow?
Well, just some sunlight and elbow grease. That's what it's always been about. Yeah, I've been communing a lot more with plants lately, more than usual.
Do you find any particular plants that are good for meditation or spiritual enlightenment?
Well, surprisingly, just the traditional, what you find at the grocery store, cherry tomatoes, apples, works pretty well.
And
oregano.
Well, Arthur, we're just having a little bit of a chat about memory and where memory comes from and what the inside of your memory might look like. And I wonder if you have any special insights into this. Like, perhaps memory is a garden.
Well, memory is just, it's so interesting because, like consciousness, it's one of the things that we as a species take to be a marker of our superiority. You know, we look at the human being as one of the most advanced in nature, sort of evolution or creation's highest order as of yet, or perhaps of all time. And we do that largely because things that are a point of our evolution, consciousness and memory and,
even
you know, tool making,
traditional crafts
are our metrics that we use to measure supremacy. So of course we come out on top. It's kind of funny, but if you look at plants and how marvelous they are in nature, sure, they don't have consciousness, but they're every bit as advanced and
more advanced. Actually, they can photosynthesize and we can't.
Well, you know,
that's true. Yeah, they're nature's alchemists. Absolutely. Yeah, synthesizing chemicals here and there of all kinds. Chemicals that can make energy from light and alter perception and make toxins and sweets, sugars, everything. Yeah,
and mind
they can make compounds that we have no idea how to.
How to
start with
synthesize biologically. Well, and also I hear a lot about the comparisons between the species, and I really think that it's a little silly. Like, we've all been living on the planet for the same amount of time, we've had the same amount of evolutionary push to develop, and hence we are all equal in terms of development. We are all still here.
Yeah. I mean, whether you call it evolution, you know, whether that's wherever truth that comes from, the process itself, there's pretty good scientific evidence for, right, we're all on the threshold of the current moment, everything originating from that single origin of life, and we're all equivalent. We're all equally advanced in our own ways.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, even the little guys, even bacteria and protozoa, they've just, their clock is moves faster, and they've just evolved in so many different ways too.
And I've heard some
to match the current environment.
Some theorists claim that our level of intelligence is inversely related to our spiritual enlightenment.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, because bacteria are so spiritually advanced, they have no need for material intelligence.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all, yeah. But they've reached enlightenment.
In the spirit of enlightenment.
And plants, also, just taking a moment in your garden or in the woods and just communing with the tomatoes.
You can
tell something's up.
I would suggest in the spirit of enlightenment to have 5 seconds of silence for the fallen grass.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'm going to phase out for a minute. I'll be right there.
And well, I think that's been five seconds.
I ran out of beer. Probably wait for the rest of the radio show to get more.
Robert, I have a question for you. Do you tend your garden?
I feel like I am part of everything. I mean, I don't really take my own time to like produce any physical gardens, no. I mean, in the vast like references of space, I mean, yes, I do tend to my garden.
What about your spiritual gardens?
Yeah, like colors and stuff. Yeah, Yeah. I like to, like, paint stuff like garden. And I mean, like, I guess people see themselves in gardens. So, like, I guess when I paint and I play music, like, it's a lot like a person if they were just, like, hanging out gardening, like, in their yard or whatever.
Well, since we all share a common soul root as human beings, I think that when someone like Martha Stewart is busy gardening, we can share in that experience with her spiritually.
Well, I definitely feel like there is some truth and there is some value in that analogy that you all are bringing up, that that memory is like a garden, and that we build palaces and fortresses and gardens within ourselves of our memories, and they certainly are not the cathedral that we imagine them to be, nor are they...
I think I hypocrited myself a minute ago. I'm sorry, not Dr. Jollis. I didn't mean to mirror you like that, Dr. Jollis. I meant when I disagreed with that person, though. I think I just, like confused something. Because, I mean, like, in my memory, I think it's kind of like a battle. But, I mean, if someone's gardening, it's not, like, it's just kind of nice. Like, they're just, they're more in the moment than, like, the moment of memory. Like, and that's why, like, memory and time, like, memory isn't time necessarily. Like, my memory and my time is kind of like I feel like guarded against anything that I like. Yeah, I feel like I'm guarding.
I feel like there is some definite truth to this idea that your memory is like a home that you build for yourself, within yourself, that you become comfortable in. And if there are memories that make you sufficiently uncomfortable, you modify them or remove them. And I feel like there is some evidence that this happens.
Well, I don't think you can really ever remove memory. I think that's why they make, like, bad drugs for people to take that just inevitably make them miserable and, like, terrible people and, like, totally, like, non-valuable to society. Mm. But,
Well, Robert, let's bring another voice in on this.
I don't know.
Hello, caller two?
Hi. I just wanted to give a compliment. It's nice to hear Robert on the air and participating. It was kind of sad to hear him last week just sounding like more. It's here, nice to hear him participating as opposed to I kind of heard him from my perspective projecting last week. So, Robert, I just wanted to compliment you on that.
Thanks.
Good night, caller.
Thanks.
And we always like positive feedback when it's available.
Yeah, I often wonder about myself, my own life, and I wonder if I am actually someone else's memory. Is it possible?
I don't see why not, but why don't you accept that as a being with memory, you are the memory of yourself existing?
Or and perhaps I'm, yes.
And is... And is Arthur still with us? Mr. Beam is lost in...
Well, supposedly you can only have two on the air at the same time.
An ocean of waves. No, it's true, but I had hoped that we had somehow managed to keep him.
Yeah, man, what do you still say? I'm still, like, resonating with that. It's, like, vibrating in my mind. Plants are totally weird creatures. They're totally just... I was thinking about that while raking my lawn today. Like, I was, like pulling up the grass, like a lot of it, like dead grass, and then I was like, more of it's gonna like grow in its place. And I was trying to get away these leaves and all these excess sticks from the storm, and like I really had no opinion or anything on it. It was like a nice experience.
Right, I understand that Arthur's really been researching into many aspects of plants. In particular, he's been looking into different products and uses made out of papaya. Yeah, that's actually
cool,
one of
man.
The latest breaking fields, and you know everyone thinks that weeds are very, very predominant around.
That wasn't really what I was talking about.
Oh no,
but
no!
But you know, if someone's thinking that though, which is why I even bothered talking in the first place.
Right. No, but this is what Arthur was talking about. You know, there are weeds everywhere, but really,
I wasn't even. I was talking about weeds mentally. Like, I was just thinking about marijuana taking over the planet, actually, and how easily that seed grows naturally, and how it's been like kind of like pushed away. Like, marijuana grows a lot easier than a lot of like vegetables, from what I understand, like naturally in its own seed. Granted, that's not the type of weed I'd want to smoke. As a, I mean, I'm not saying go out and smoke marijuana. I'm not saying that's going to help your spiritual. But I mean, well, it helped me. But whatever you do is what you do.
I mean, and I really find it somewhat amusing that a lot of politicians try to illegalize marijuana when it's, as you said, it grows everywhere, and it's really like trying to illegalize wind. You know, it's a little bit paranoid.
That's right. And according to my own survey of the scientific literature, approximately 22% of all grass that grows on lawns is actually marijuana.
Well, and you know, if you stop and think, it's just another creature trying to live and make a place for itself here in America. And
this is the land of opportunity.
Well, you know, theoretically.
What about mumbo jumbo? Humbo mumbo jumbo.
And what you just said, it sounds a lot like animal communication to me.
Okay.
Well, you know, have you heard? Like, I like to have whale song in the background during the program. And who's to say that there aren't linguistic constructs there that we don't understand?
The oceans are a part of everything. I mean, there's water, moisture everywhere. Who knows? As far as, like, pushing, when a whale sings, it vibrates the water.
And they have a medium for communication and a desire to do so, and clearly they do it. Let's bring another voice in on this. Caller 8, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you, caller. Marhaban, how are you?
I'm okay. I've actually been listening to for the last 3 weeks, each Friday, and I do find the show very interesting.
Well, thank you for your patronage.
Yeah. You know, I love everything about it. You know, when I'm driving home, make me feel nice and relaxed, calm, almost to the point where, you know, you're meditating but driving, you know.
Well, yeah, we certainly would not want you to lose yourself in the program, but it is nice to relax.
Right.
Well, survival and instincts, a lot of people, when you're going to a place that you need to go, a lot of people would say that that's a form of meditation in itself anyways.
So, well, it's just, you know,
You're surviving and you're moving through your life and you're breathing with a pattern. I think meditating is a lot like breathing with a pattern. And you move through your own environments every day.
Right. So part of it is, you know, I'm in the Boston area and there's not a lot of great drivers, so instead of getting mad, I flip on the radio station and, you know, feel at peace, you know, sort of.
Right, and I do believe that driving can be a deeply enhancing experience for our spiritual life. And
Yes, definitely.
And I feel that when I have to go somewhere, I may not know the exact physical location, and therefore a map would be extraneous, so I don't use a map. I just use my instinct, and I drive, and I end up arriving where I was supposed to be.
Right.
Well, and I also find that it is. I also live in Boston, of course, and the driving very much frustrated me when I came here, and I used to live in Cairo, so you can imagine really? That I was really surprised.
Right.
But eventually I found that if I imagined that the cars with their horns were simply playing a symphony for me, and I found a lot of similarity there to the to some symphonies that I know, and it really comforted me and enabled me to relax, even though it sounds really ridiculous.
Right. But, I just wanted to call and say, you know, it's a great show. I'm always listening, you know, every Friday. So I just want to say that, and thank you.
Well, thank you, caller, and thank you for calling in.
Okay, take care.
Okay, my salam. It's always nice to hear that someone is benefiting.
Well, I really think it's an exchange. You know, I think this is a circular circle where what goes around is really coming right back through the airwaves and resonating.
Yeah, precisely. But and it's so nice that we are able to take calls and to let it really come back, because I know a lot of stations and a lot of programs don't do that. And I also want to remind everyone that we have an email address that's humans@wmbr.org.
Yeah, every time a call comes in, I feel that its vibrations have been permanently added to us. And it increases our harmonizing whole and adds to our vibrations, to our sphere of vibrations and trembling. And it's just amazing. Every week it just gets added to every time.
And yet this whole, you know, symphony is such a versatile word here. This whole symphony of vibrations is really like a crash, you know, like everything is rushing together, and it's miraculous that so many of us survive.
Yes. We not only do we survive, but we thrive on this crash. We somehow, all the pieces, which each have their own identity, each caller has his or her own identity, they all find their place and they fit together perfectly.
Someone just coughed.
Let's nurture our good vibrations.
Let's do that. Professor Levine, I believe you have a weather report for us.
Yes, that's right.
So how about the other hosts and Robert? We all meditate while Professor Levine delivers the weather here.
I advise that you close your eyes and just picture the weather as I mention it, because that actually will help actualize the weather in your soul.
Let's all...
Actualizing your weather in your soul, though, is not creating the actual weather.
We're just
for no one out there.
But let's celebrate it. So let's all.
It's 32 degrees right now in Cambridge, Fahrenheit. Tomorrow on Saturday, we'll reach a high of 48 degrees Fahrenheit and a low of 29 degrees. On Sunday, we'll reach a high of 52 degrees. It'll be mostly sunny with a patch of clouds and a low of 26. Finally, for the week ahead, a cold front will enter Boston and will reach lows of 23, 27, and 31 degrees Fahrenheit and highs in the mid to upper 30s. I hope that was an enlightening and fulfilling report of the weather.
It was really, really wonderful that we are able to all celebrate the weather. Robert,
what?
It's over.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really wonderful that we can experience the weather in this way.
Yeah, and I think if you experience it the right way, it can actually be an amazing and exhausting experience, but exhausting in a good way, that afterwards you'll feel that all my energy is used positively and my potentials have been fulfilled.
And that's always what we are hoping for here on Music for Human Beings. So fulfilling, ultimately, that we can exist this way, and we have the freedom to do so.
Yeah, I think Robert is doing what's called speaking in tongues, which is an ancient practice of some sects, where they believe that by letting go of their consciousness, by just letting go of their inhibitions, they can actually communicate with some higher realm, and just their vocal cords will just spontaneously react with this higher realm and voice sounds and voices of beings that they didn't even know existed.
And new ways of seeing everything that you've seen before isn't always adding up to what you're going to do in the future.
That's right, that's amazing. And even though we see the same thing over and over, it accumulates each time.
Yep. Okay, I guess that's the sound that I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. Good night.
Well, thank you so much, Robert, for being with us. Yes, unfortunately, time is always coming in and screwing things up, opening the doors, and really causing disaster everywhere. But thank you, co-hosts, for joining me, Professor Levine.
It was great to be here again.
Thank you, Professor, and. Also, Ivan the Mello.
It was my pleasure. До свидания.
And the unusual Lester Woods, who is out there somewhere. مع السلامة from me, Dr. Janis Sakran. Music for Humans is New Age Talk Radio with a focus on you, on every Friday at 7 p.m. مع السلامة.
Namaste.
Points for safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number 3.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number 4.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
The Shameless and Nameless Show with your host, Glenn Nameless, and myself, Seamus McSeamus, broadcasting live from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. You're listening to WMBR Radio 88.1 FM.
As I outlined to you in your office, we would be very happy to have the chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your office early next week.
Yo, you're listening to Shameless and Nameless.
Hello, hello.
We are filling in for, what show are we filling in for? Hidden Gems in Plain Sight.
Whenever us from Anti-Beta Blocker fill in for another show, it becomes the Shameless and Nameless Show.
That's right. We are normally the hosts of Anti-Beta Blocker, which comes on in 1 hour's time, 9 till 10 p.m., so please stay tuned for that. This song, Glenn, is making me talk fast. I don't know.
I don't know. Keep going. We have a lot of...
This is Dick Dow with Miss You Lou, a very classic Greek song, a very classic cover of it as well. Yeah. This week, we're going to have a bit of randomness, hey?
Yeah, I would take this opportunity to play some tracks we like that won't necessarily fit into our own show. So
normally we just play electro, but this week it's going to be mainly some indie kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got some indie stuff, you know, just some electronically influenced alternative, you know. If you've been lucky enough to have heard Shameless and Nameless in the past.
Well, I'm lucky enough.
So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff. Let's jump into it.
All right, you can always give us a call on 617-253-8810. We'll be for next hour. Hope you enjoy.